You're listening to the Overdrive Podcast, Hour 2. Brought to you in part by Alpine Credits. Own your home and need a loan? With Alpine Credits, homeowners get approved.
Who wants to have some fun?
It's Mail It In Friday.
Right now, there are 600 Titleists that I got from the driving range in the trunk of my car.
Can we get on with it?
My name is George. I'm unemployed and I live with my parents.
These reports you handed in, it's almost as if you have no business training at all.
This is Overdrive with Hayes, Noodles, and the O-Dog on TSN 1050.
All right, big weekend throughout the country. Thanksgiving. The weather turned on a dime last night. It was nice yesterday. At least it was somewhat mild and warm. It was freezing this morning.
Yeah.
It's like 2 degrees out.
Golf is coming to an end, people. There'll still be grit grinders out there. Shorts.
I can't do it. I can't play once it gets below 10.
You're done with it?
10's my limit.
Even that's annoying. You see your boy Phil? You see his comments today? Phil Mickelson, who we all watched
chop it up. I saw something, his name came up. And
it's just such a typically obnoxious, arrogant comment. He was complaining about the rough at the Ryder Cup course.
Well, of course he was, because he was in it the whole time.
He was in it for 3 days.
Like, the Americans, you, as soon as you thought they're making progress in the Ryder Cup and developing team chemistry and having all these summits on how to get better, when they lose, there's talks about fights within the team, how they hated the captain, how they hated their partner. It's just, it's so embarrassing.
Yeah. Well, Phil wasn't
and
talking
so
about...
And so American.
It is. There's always got to be an explanation. It can't just be Europe smoked us and we played poorly and, hey, we'll see in 2 years.
What's Phil saying about the rough?
He just said, those kind of courses, I'm not going to play them anymore. They're a waste of my time. Like, you get to determine where golf tournaments are played. All right, then we won't see it any more U.S. Opens. You can never play the U.S. Open again. Because the rough at the U.S. Open is always like what we just saw at the Ryder Cup. It's always 3 inches, 4 inches high, and
he's a beauty.
Phil just complains, and then scissor kicks things off the top of people's heads.
Did you like? Like, were you all right with that?
Yeah, I'm fine with that. He pulls it off.
What was the deal with their pants and their outfits there? I thought they looked like idiots.
Well, they always wear the American. Are you talking about afterwards or like during the round?
Well, yeah, I mean, he looked like he was wearing pajama bottoms with the scissor kick, so he's greased at the bar. But I'm talking like, couldn't you get like better? I don't know what they're wearing.
They always do that. It's always goofy.
It looks terrible.
They always look goofy. It's like the Olympics, right?
Right.
Like every 2 years, some company buys the rights to outfit Canada and the United States.
Someone comes up with the brilliant idea to say, here's the Canadian tuxedo for this year's Olympic team.
Yeah, right. We have to be so unique this time around. And in order for us to really get our name out and people associate this with our product, we've got to do something so stupid. Everyone's going to wear jorts walking into the opening ceremony.
It looked ridiculous. I thought they all looked ridiculous.
Yeah. Every 2 years, it's like that. Like, you know what? Usually you wait 20 or 30 years and you look back and you're like, whoa, what were they thinking at that time? When you're in the moment, you're like, this is awful. And this is going to look bad for the rest of time. You know it's a bad look.
Yeah, it's like bad bridesmaids. You know, like if the bride wants to look good and the bridesmaid dresses are just disasters.
That's another way. Like, guys really come out in a... They get it a lot easier. You know, generally you're just in a tux or a black suit or blue suit, navy suit.
Yeah.
The bridesmaids, they don't know what they're going to wear.
Just and wear sometimes, a lime green dress. And like, the women get worked up about it.
All the time. I don't
blame
them.
If I was a bridesmaid, I'd have one rule. And one rule only. Do you know what that would be?
What?
You pay for it. How about that?
Like, the bride pays
pay
for it?
Pay for the dresses.
All of them.
That's not the... But it doesn't happen on the other side either. Groomsmen always pay for their own suits. You just had that happen, didn't you?
Didn't mind doing it. They were fantastic. I was a little skeptical, but my buddy Rick pulled off a great suit.
Well, I'm with you on that. I've bought two suits
But what
recently.
I'm saying for the bridesmaids, if it's something garbage that's ugly,
right.
you pay for it.
I
Why are you making me do that?
If you're never going to wear it again because it's awful, you shouldn't be obligated to pay for it. Like, I'm with you. I was in my brother-in-law's wedding.
Be careful now.
What am I being careful about?
If you're going to rip your brother-in-law.
No. I'm saying... we bought suits, and they're awesome. It's an awesome suit. Like, right. I wear it a lot. You know, I'm not a big suit guy, but it's totally in the rotation.
That's what it has to be.
It wasn't like an orange suit that I'm never going to wear again. I'm like, really? I'm going to have to pay $1,200 for this?
Yeah.
Look like Lloyd Christmas?
Yeah, usually you want it just to be something that you could wear again.
Keep it simple. Black, navy, gray. That's it.
And then you
don't get silly, don't get stupid, and we're all good.
Yeah.
But it doesn't happen with bridesmaids.
No.
You're right. It's like off pink with like a puffy thing and shoulder pads, and it's like they're
magenta,
never gonna wear that again.
Magenta, wear it like, and people get so worked up about it.
I know, but you're committed. You're in. If you're in the club, you gotta. You can't go rogue. No, I'm not buying that.
What if you just showed up in a different dress?
Dude, do you not know how many, like, they talk about bridezillas?
Yeah,
the bridesmaidzillas are a thing.
That's
because they're not happy. They're not happy about the dress. They're not happy about this.
I wouldn't be happy about
it. That's why the whole thing, you just don't do it.
We're just down on love today, aren't we?
Yeah,
we're seeking out turkey dump stories.
It is the turkey dump story.
Ripping bridesmaids.
Yeah, you're advocating just to avoid the whole marriage routine. Joining us now, the Maple Toyota Hotline. Here's Ray Ferraro, our TSN hockey analyst. How you doing, Ray?
I'm good. What the hell are you guys talking about?
It's dark in here today, I have to be honest with you.
Ray, did you ever go to junior and come back and have to dump your hometown girlfriend or any such story?
Yeah, and also came back and found out she was dating somebody else, but that was just fine too. That just accelerated the process.
That's a tough one. How did you find that out? You didn't walk in on anything, did you?
No, just... I lived in Trail. I mean, hell, it wasn't that hard to find out. I mean, if you don't know the guy that's dating her, you know the guy that knows the guy. And so I was like, oh, and there was no cell phones then. You called in once a week, and she was doing what she was doing, and I was doing what I was doing. And so it really wasn't, a crushing blow to the, well, yeah, it was. Hell, I was 17. It sucked.
Yeah, you know, that would sting, like, but.
Yeah, but it was fine, because I was fine with what I was doing. I was just not fine with what she was doing.
Right. In a way, it was like a mutual turkey dump. Like, both of you were going to go your separate ways anyway. She just kind of beat you to the punch, in a way.
Yeah, she did. I was like, really? Well, are we not dating anymore? She was like, well, no, not really.
Yeah, like, figure it out, dude.
That's when you just come with the heater line and say, that's fine, because I've been doing other stuff long before you were.
Oh, don't worry. Oh, there was zero maturity.
Oh, no chance. At 17?
At 17 years old, not a chance. Yeah. Oh, yeah? Well, I am too.
Yeah.
Not a chance.
No. Tears running down your cheek on the way out. But, yeah, you had your life figured out. It was all good.
Two words for someone that's cheating like that. Oh, yeah? Multiple partners for me. Same time. So I hope you enjoyed yourself.
Okay.
Yeah. That's when it gets.
But then you know that your ex-partner is going to be like, that's a lie. There's no way that's actually happened.
Yeah.
So you're kind of putting yourself in a position to be ridiculed that much more.
Yeah, you're right.
Anyway, Yankee Sox tonight. I know you're a Boston fan. Are you feeling confident this evening or what?
I'm confident as long as the starters stay in the game.
Yeah.
I'm not. If they open up that bullpen door, I'm going to run to Boston and shut it. And just tell them, keep those guys in there. That's really that's what I, honestly, as a Sox fan, that's what I fear the most, is their bullpen will just explode. Even though I know Sale and Price don't have great postseason records, but their bullpen's been a debacle most of the year, and they won 110 games or whatever they won.
Yeah, Sale would scare me too, man. I mean, he's lost some velocity, he's had some injury problems, and like you mentioned, his playoff history, although not a lot of sample size, he doesn't have a ton of playoff starts, they have not been very positive results, so I'm with you, man. And the Yankees are the opposite. Just get to the bullpen. If it's close, they're feeling very good about themselves. So.
Well, and you know, the other thing about these games, they'll end in a tidy 4.5 hours. Every time the Red Sox and Yankees play, they play forever. They never end.
Yeah, longest games of all time.
I don't even know what it is. I mean, other teams get lots of hits too, but holy smokes, pal, moving along.
It's so painful.
But I'll be watching.
Yeah, it's painful. The Leafs have a double shot this weekend at home to Ottawa tomorrow, in Chicago on Sunday. And then they hit the road, actually. They got Chicago, then Dallas, Detroit, Washington.
Yeah.
You know, they're a bit of a roadie out of the gate, but with Montreal in the bag, and they got 2 points regardless of how it played out. Ottawa at home tomorrow. Chicago is not what they were 3 or 4 years ago. It feels like an opportunity for the Leafs to find some swagger, at least early in the season, if they can get rolling here pretty quickly.
It does. You know, Dallas looked pretty good last night. So, as you mentioned, just past these two games, they roll into Dallas. You know, so that'll be a good test for them. Of course, Noodles was sitting there doing the game last night, and that looked like an October hockey game. I mean, there was 500 scoring chances.
Yeah, and I was telling the guys, it was, at one point, I think the shots were 12-6, and the scoring chances were, I mean, Ottawa had 6 scoring chances in those 6 shots, and Chicago had 8 or 9. I mean, Taze had a partial breakaway, his first shot on goal. It was ridiculous, and you're right, it is October hockey right now.
But if there's something for, you know, as Babcock selling the games to the guys, you know, coming off a, you know, pretty lackluster game against Montreal, is that, you know, look, guys, if we play the game the right way, like if we are really crisp in our zone, we're going to get a ton of chances, because they will, in particular in the next two games. I mean, look, at Chicago's D is just not what it used to be. Ottawa is, you know, they're just trying to find their way from day to day and see what they have, right?
Yeah.
So there is a really, really good chance for them to jump out here and put some time, or put some points in the bank. And the other thing is, it's kind of a good time to get out on the road here and let all this stuff about Nylander kind of fade into the wind a little bit, because it'll pick back up when he's not signed, if they come back and, you know, they're still in the same spot. But right now, it's like there's no escaping it.
Well, I was going to ask you that. I mean, I'm sure you guys have all been in a similar position at some point, but the story, like, they've played a game. They won in overtime. Matthews scored 2 beauties. Tavares scored, and immediately it was, okay, well, what about Nylander? What about Shanahan's comments? And the past 2 days, Matthews and Marner have just been peppered with questions about their own contractual situations. You know, are you going to sit out? Like, someone went up to them today and was like, are you going to miss games next year? Could you see a situation where you miss games?
And I think that's insane.
It's crazy. They've got 81 more games this season.
But
and we're worried about them missing games next October. I mean,
there's another layer to that too, Brian, is that not only are they not worried about it because it's next year, but they're 21 or 22 years old, or 20 years old. They're not thinking past next Tuesday. But seriously, they know that what's coming. Of course they know. But it's not in, no chance it's in the forefront of their heads. Not till somebody asks them.
Well, and that's the thing. The media, this is a bone that the media is chewing on right now, because there's a lot of content that comes with it. You know, what Shanahan said, I don't know if he, I doubt he thought it would lead to this kind of discussion, you know, where he opened the door to that much more conversation. You know, the idea of hometown discounts and these 3 players in particular.
I don't necessarily think he means, like, they're not offering Nylander $2 million a year.
No, of course not. But he did say we would like them to take a little bit less.
Right.
Like, that's what he said. It's not like we're misquoting him. That's what he said. So
I would like,
based on whose evaluation,
but
I don't know.
But that's the thing. What is a little less? That's I guess, a multi-million dollar question, too. What is a little less in their minds?
Are they a little less than demanding Draisaitl money? Maybe that's what he's referring to.
Okay, but are they $2 million apart? Are they $2.5 million apart? That's what, I mean, we won't know, but that's what I would love to be privy to, is how far apart and how much term are we talking about? Because if it's $2.5 million on a 7-year deal, that's north of 15. That's a ton of money.
You guys can all weigh in on this. I saw a comment today. The longer this goes, the it shifts into the favor of William Nylander. How could that be the case?
Well, the only way it would be the case is that if Toronto thinks they've got a legitimate chance to win, which they probably should think that, and that if it gets to December 1st, they either got to trade Nylander or sign him, or they don't have him for the year. Mm-hmm. And so maybe there would be pressure to get him signed. But the thing is, with anything like that, that means you're looking through a really narrow lens. And the Nylander contract is the absolute opposite of that because of the implications of signing either a good or a bad deal for either side. It's the next 7 or 8 years that's going to matter. It's not just, oh, are they going to have a chance right now? And so that's why I don't think he's got any real leverage. There's a long game that both sides are trying to play here, and there's the implication for the Leafs on, you know, the obvious contracts that are coming down the pike, and then for Nylander, it's obviously about him. And you can say he's selfish or whatever. I don't think so. I think he's got one crack at it, and, you know, and that's his career, and he's trying to get it right as quickly and as lucratively as he can. And I would say Shanahan doesn't make very many mistakes ever. Like, publicly, I can't even really think of any he's made. I thought speaking out like that the other day was a little bit of a mistake. Just that maybe it didn't quite come out the way that he wanted it to come out. Now it sounds like they're pitted against each other, and that can't be healthy because the fans are going to side with somebody, and they can't side with both. They're going to side with somebody.
You know, what I got from that, Ray, is to me, I think that's their next plan of attack. Like, maybe they almost had hit a stalemate. It's like, okay, this guy's dug in, we're digging in. Let's try a different way. That's kind of maybe, like you said, Brendan Shanahan, smart guy, very calculated. That was a calculated drop out to everyone involved. You want to know about it? This is what's going on. You know, we're asking this, and like almost putting it out there to see if in some small percentage this would apply some pressure to the other side from the court of public opinion. And I don't think he, whether you think it's a mistake or not, he meant to do that because maybe that's the next step in their negotiating process. Because it seemed to me, if this was going very well, you know, it's just darkness. There's nothing, no information. And for Brendan to mention that, I don't think it's going very well.
Yeah, I see. I don't think he thought that comments were going to
explode.
You know, explode like they did. And now they're everywhere, and everybody's interpreting the comments in their own way, which, of course, whether you want to or not, is what's exactly going to happen. You know, everybody's going to write a story from what they view. It's like, I get asked every once in a while, guys, I don't know if you guys do when you do radio, what do you think that guy is thinking? How the hell would I know? I'm not in his head. Well, that's what everybody does with comments like this. And I mean, virtually everybody is that, what do you think they were trying to say? Was it really about just Nylander? Was it more about Matthews and Marner? I don't think he had the intention for it to be as far reaching as he did. And that's why I think it's a really good time for them to get out of Dodge and go play some games. And nothing much is going to change in 10 days, I wouldn't think, but at least they'll get away from the every day, every moment of this.
What about the position that Nylander would be sitting in if he was here and if he was under contract, that right side on Matthews' line? There's only one game, but that line 5-on-5 didn't do much. And when Matthews scored, Tyler Ennis wasn't on the ice. Do you think Ennis will still be on his wing in 5 games, 10 games, 15 games? How do you see that playing out?
I don't. I don't know if the next crack at that will go to Connor Brown, although that doesn't seem, you know, to be the right thing. Maybe does he go back to Hyman there? Although Hyman was on the other side, maybe. I mean, they seemed to like that a lot last year. They just don't really have a lot of other options. If you're looking at, you're not replacing what Nylander has from your roster. So I think it's very possible, Brian, there's a couple of different guys that end up cycling through that spot.
With Ray Ferraro, our TSN hockey analyst, I was watching a little bit of that Jets game last night, and it was close, and then I flipped off, and I came back, and it was 4-0.
Yes.
like immediately they just said, we're out of here. We're done. 2 points.
See, and the St. Louis Blues now have to deal with their goaltending yet again.
True, but I think what really came out of it, and this is what we already knew, but Winnipeg...
They're serious, man. They're good.
They are good.
Top to bottom.
They are a legit
Just pull their lineup. Go on the website called Daily Faceoff and just look how it stacks up with their line combinations, yeah, their defense, their goaltenders. It's all there.
There's no weakness in that lineup other than if, and like any organization, like your starter gets hurt, they don't have a backup that can carry the mail yet. I think Comrie has a chance, but Brassois is not a guy who, he's a lot like Sparks in the Sparks situation. But like that Scheifele move at the blue line, now I don't know if that was offside or not. I don't know if you saw it, Ray.
It was still fantastic.
It was an unreal move. And like that team is a serious team. They are legit.
Well, what about the way, so it's 1-0, St. Louis is on the power play, and Hellebuck makes an unbelievable save on Steen.
Yeah.
And then the puck gets chipped to center ice, and somehow Lowry gets a breakaway, scores his first goal in 32 games, going back to last year. So it's 2-0. So the penalty ends. There's a turnover just outside the penalty box door, and it's like a lightning strike. Boom, it's 3-0. Like, yeah. St. Louis was on the power play, and then they weren't, and they were down by 3. And hit the nail a little bit on the head here with St. Louis. You know, Jake Allen said after the game, oh, you know, I've got to make that save. And there was a lot. He had 2 months last year that if they didn't have Carter Hutton, they would have been out of the playoffs in February.
Yep.
And that's something that, you know, they didn't address in the summer because it's hard to address it. The only question I had about St. Louis, with all the guys they added, none of them are very fast. And in a game that's getting faster and faster, mm-hmm, the guys that they added are not very quick, and they're all up front. And I wonder if those moves become, you know, in retrospect, become moves that aren't very, very solid for the Blues. You know, they added Maroon, big guy, strong guy, not a fast guy. Tyler Bozak, not fast. David Perron, not fast.
Right.
You know, so it's not got nothing to do with their skill level or abilities. They're just all of them not very quick.
And Ryan O'Reilly is kind of a tweener. You know, he's right, not super fast, but he's not super slow. He's kind of just a tweener. He's an average skater at the NHL level, technically, against
his
peers.
You look at the Jets, they got about a half a dozen guys that just fly,
yeah,
up there. Like, so I thought it was pretty impressive to go on the road and to win like that. Pretty impressive. Hellebuck was awesome last night. And it's just a good test, you know. Not very deep analysis here, but that's a good team.
Yep, they are legit. They're legit. A very good team. All right, man. Well, happy Thanksgiving. We're all off on Monday, so I guess we'll do this again Tuesday at 5. And you're going to be down in Dallas. Is it Tuesday night?
Yeah, it'll be Tuesday night. I'll have my turkey sandwiches for my plane ride on Monday.
The heck with that girl from Trail, buddy.
And none of that. No pickled BS that O was talking about yesterday. That's
You got to hear the sandwich that this guy puts together.
Really?
Run through your routine again.
You mean the turkey?
Yeah. The turkey. Yes. The sandwich that you make afterwards.
Turkey, lettuce, cheddar, mayo, salt and pepper, and a cut-up dill pickle on top.
Wow.
Does anyone else not think that's awesome?
I'll take the turkey and the cheddar, and that's it. Leave it dry.
I feel like there was something else. You've taken away ingredients.
Noodle, I've known you. How old are you, Noodle?
I'm 47. You've known me since I was 20.
You have never been the most creative eater.
Straight turkey and cheese.
Turkey and cheese and toasted bread with a little butter on it. I'm good.
But that is... The toasted bread, that's a good addition, though, I will say, Noodle.
Mm-hmm. See, that's a secret. You toast the bread on the side, like just like you're making plain butter toast. Then you put the turkey on there and the cheese. And because the bread, the toast is warm, it melts the cheese.
I'm not even afraid on Thanksgiving or like Christmas dinner. You don't make a plate. You grab 4 to 5 of the little dinner rolls and you just open them up and make little sandwiches. You make 4 to 5 of those and you've got everything, and you are happy.
You're making turkey sliders. That's what you're doing.
Yes. It's amazing.
So just say somebody's laid out the table. They got all the nice plates out and everything. And
you just turn it into a Subway shop. That's all you're doing.
Yeah. And with your hands, no plate, exactly. No nothing. I could see.
No, like, I'll get right in
the
there.
Only guy in Thanksgiving history not to use utensils.
Like eating over the tray, like just
head down to a soup kitchen and call it a day. Just call it a day. All right, Ray.
Steady. Happy Thanksgiving, boys. Good eating.
You too. There's Ray Ferraro, TSN hockey analyst, joining us here on the Maple Toyota Hotline.
It's hilarious. That is, I mean,
I'm telling you, everyone, you just those little dinner rolls that are so good. You just
we're making fun
open
of it.
Them up.
I don't disagree with you. I'm like we're making fun of it. It is a great little recipe.
It is, but you got to have some sort of
semblance.
Yeah, I mean etiquette, Thanksgiving etiquette. You know, you sit around and you use utensils and
don't you find? Let's get serious. At those type of functions, you are eating so much garbage beforehand that when it comes around to the actual feed, yeah. I just do a token little bit of turkey, some gravy, some mash. If I can find a corn, I throw it, and it's right. done.
I got I like caught up in ham, that last though. Week.
I like a ham.
I like a ham, too.
See, turkey and
stuffing?
Ham.
Are you stuffing
I haven't had
guy?
Ham in
Not
20
a big,
years.
You know,
I haven't
stuffing
touched
has,
a ham.
Stuffing really? Has onions. Like, why the
I know,
hell do
I don't
they
have
put
a
onions
I'm not a big
we
onion guy.
We were talking
guy,
yesterday. Not everyone's into the stuffing.
I like the bread from the stuffing. Like,
no.
I don't mind a stovetop if it's just kind of just the bread and a little bit of seasoning. You get onions and stuff in there, it's just a waste. All it's doing is filling your body up of, it's just a filler.
Yeah, but you only do it like two or three times a year.
But see, I could see you.
Darren no, Dreger just, doesn't like stuffing either.
I could
or
just
getting the stuffing.
I could see you, Hayes. Like stuffing with gravy.
Oh,
like
dude,
dipping?
All day.
Double dipping the gravy.
Dripping in gravy. It's the most unhealthy thing.
I would rather not eat than have stuffing with gravy.
It's incredibly unhealthy. We had a guy text in saying that his roommate in college put on like 30 pounds in a month because he ate stuffing every day.
What is it?
Day.
Remember the movie Super Size Me? By the end, the guy
yeah.
was like, okay, your heart's going to stop. And
that's what stuffing.
Stuffing for 30 days in a row?
Yeah. I love it. I could try it, but I couldn't get through 30 days. I could do
would
it for
4 or 5
days.
He make his own,
days.
Like, stove
yeah, stove top. This guy, like, the guy would come home from school, and the guy's just
I
firing up
you,
a dish of stuffing.
I guarantee you he was the biggest stoner around, too.
Oh, dude.
Like, if you're eating
he
stuffing.
He was eating at 4 in the morning.
Stuffing.
Yeah, stuffing and Madden.
Yeah.
And he was so stoned.
And put 30 pounds on, guaranteed.
What are you doing tonight? Smoking weed, making stuffing, and playing video games. What are you guys doing?
Yeah, we're gonna study.
Yeah,
do something.
Study. There's this thing called women. We're gonna go try and talk
exactly.
to them. That would be cool. All right, second annual turkey dump segment. Takes that we're done with. Experiences in our life that we're done with.
Yeah.
Mitch Berger coming up at 6:30. We got to get into the Thursday night or last night. The Pats, they might come up in my turkey dump segment. I got a Pats take that I'm going to stop acknowledging, putting it in my rear view. And we've got tickets to the Leafs-Kings on October 15th. So we'll get to those as well. We're going to give those away between now and 7 p.m.
I invented It's Not You, It's Me. Nobody tells me it's them, not me. If it's anybody, it's me.
All right. George, it's you.
You're damn right it's me.
The turkey dump.
Did we play that last year? Like, was that from last year, the intro? Thanks to Fergie. No royalties involved in that, but it was a really aggressive turkey dump. Did you hear Fergie? Can you play that?
Fire it up again.
Yeah, play the intro one more time in case you missed it.
I invented It's Not You, It's Me. Nobody tells me it's them, not me. If it's anybody, it's me.
All right. George, it's you.
You're damn right it's me.
The turkey dump.
Thanks, Fergie. I like that.
That's
Fergie's
just
committed.
Just an aggressive, just, he meant it.
Yeah, he did. So I don't even remember how we stumbled across this last year, but we actually did it when we were up in Barrie.
Right.
Remember, we were at the game, and I guess it was Thanksgiving weekend. That weekend, we were going into that. I don't know. I don't remember. But we brought it up last September, the idea of us coming up with certain takes that we're not going to use anymore. We've had enough. We're putting them in the rear view. We're going to give these take these takes, the turkey dump, essentially, yep. or experiences or whatever. I got a few. Do you want me to get started?
Go ahead.
I am giving the turkey dump to being stressed out about contracts in the salary cap for the rest of the year.
Really?
That's an awfully difficult turkey dump to take.
I don't enjoy believe you're going ride. To, though.
I may come crawling back.
You're going to come crawling back because something's going to happen that is going to affect the trickle-down effect to Mitch Marner / Austin Matthews.
I'm kind of piggybacking off of you. I want to talk about the Leafs, how they're playing, good things, goal scoring, great goaltending. I'm sick of the contract talk.
I'm just sick of the anxiety that comes with it. And yes, it's incredibly important. Of course it is. We're going to talk about it. When Nylander signs, we're going to talk about it.
Right.
When Matthews or Marner signs, you have to talk about it. It's an important part of the conversation, thanks to the salary cap.
Right.
But what I'm saying is, we have been waiting in Toronto for a city like this, or for a team like this, for decades. It's finally here. They're really good. They're really talented. The games are going to be fun. The game on Wednesday, it wasn't a Picasso necessarily, but it was a fun game.
Right.
They win in overtime, immediately reverting right back to, well, what about William Nylander's contract? What about Mitch Marner? Is he going to leave? What about Matthews? You know, enjoy the ride.
That's
you're a Leaf
but
fan.
That's
Get
the world
the
we
year.
Live in, though. The minute, and this has been happening for a long time. What do we sit and talk about? Well, Carey Price 10.5 kicks in this year. Boy, that's a rich number. Last night, Jonathan Toews, Patrick Kane 10.5 million. Yep, their cap. The team has been decimated by the cap. Like everyone's an armchair general manager. You know what the difference is now? The Leafs haven't been very good. Now that they are. Now you got to pay attention to it because everyone's going to get paid.
The money matters, the cap matters.
Right.
But what I'm saying is, like, the reason it is a bigger conversation, I think, in Montreal is because the Habs are brutal, and
right.
you're like, this guy's making 10.5 for what? For 72 points this year. In Chicago, Taves and Kane were making 10.5. What did
After
they end up with? 68 points? No, but my point is, last year they were not a good team.
Right.
I think Chicago's got a chance at bouncing back, and maybe Montreal surprises us. Who knows? But what I'm saying is, with the Leafs, like in Winnipeg, Trouba's going to have to get paid.
Right.
Meyer's going to have to get paid. But if you're in Winnipeg, I get the impression Laine's going to have to get paid. I'm sure they're talking about it.
Right.
But take a step back every once in a while and be like, wait a minute. They could really do some damage this year.
Right.
Keep your eye on
but
the ball.
Focus on that instead of just
why
crunching
did you start,
numbers.
Exactly. Days. Why did you start loving the game? Because you actually got to play it and watch it, not
right.
be a you know mathematician
yeah.
who's got to pull
a
out
cap the, cruncher.
A
yeah.
capologist, exactly. So
no, I and it's a great point.
I'll come crawling back to it, but at least for today, I'm giving that the turkey dump.
It is. I just, like I say, I wanted to call it out because I think that's what this sport has become. That's what we discuss all the time.
Right.
And
shame on the owners
no,
and shame on Bettman because
but you
it's
pointed
a joke.
It out. You're right. Some teams that are lesser or you're looking at certain players, oh, this guy makes too much. Like how many times in our conversation have we just said, you know, this player? I think in our group text the other day I said Andrew Ladd was a hip tightness or whatever. Lou had something going
Loophole'd.
On. And I
Robida
said,
Island.
Yeah, Robida Island. Well, makes a lot of money. Like, that's what it comes back to.
Of course it does.
But you're right. I hate it. Let's just focus on
Let's talk
on
about the,
games.
I'm going to give a wall squat and a massive turkey dump to the idea that Kawhi will never stay in Toronto. This is a prayer of a turkey dump. But I just would like to think that he would spend the year here and see how amazing it is and how good they can possibly be. And maybe, just maybe, and I actually saying this feel like I'm lying to myself because ultimately I kind of know what's going to happen at the end of the line. But I'm thinking maybe he'll love this city and say, you know what the heck.
I like it. That's not saying
that's
he's definitely going to stay. It is a hope. But that's
I mean,
all.
Right.
The door has to be open to an extent.
That's letting one rip and praying nothing bad happens.
Yes, and I agree with that. I've agreed with it ever since they acquired him. I think, obviously, he wanted to be in L.A. I believe that news, and I believe
right.
that reporting. But
with white, tight pants on.
He's going to like Toronto. Toronto's going to win. Nick Nurse, he's got to work out that relationship, but by all accounts, they're off to a pretty good start. He's saying the right things.
Right.
You know, let's hold off on it being a lock that he's out of here. I still think the safe money is that he leaves by the end of the year, but Anybody that thinks it's 100%, how would you know that?
Yeah. You know what? I'll give one, the turkey dump, too, and it's just something that we are going to talk about every day, and it is frustrating. And it just like the cap, what it is now, it's hits and fighting and all of the things like this guy deserves this guy, like, and I know it's going to be situational because something will happen and people will go nuts about that. It's, you know, one day it's Tom Wilson, the next day it's Marchand. Last night, I don't know if people even saw this, Jamie Benn had a knee on knee. That was a gross hit.
Why isn't that like a massive suspension?
Like it was, and Benn is lucky that it didn't end his year. Mm-hmm. Like, it was a scary hit. But every day we're going to be talking about it. At some point, I'm like you, Brian, maybe just...
stop with the over-analysis.
Let's give it 3 days. Let's hope 3 days. We can get through this weekend without
turkey
having...
dump it for a weekend. For,
on Tuesday, having to talk about an incident.
Yeah, we'll come
Saturday
crawling back
Sunday.
On Tuesday. But let's turkey dump it for a weekend. I'm with you on that. I'm going to turkey dump... questioning whether or not Brady is truly going to show his age for the rest of this season. Okay? Because I openly did. After that game in Detroit, he was brutal. Right. The whole team was bad. But Josh Gordon, touchdown last night. Gronk, Edelman was
money.
By
the way, what were those two defenders doing in that touchdown? I mean, why don't you just not even line up or not play?
A joke. It was just horrendous secondary play from Indianapolis.
It was worse than that play in Minnesota last year where the defender for the Saints just kind of rolled around and let the guy go by him to win the game.
I don't know about that. That was in the playoffs. That was a Hail Mary.
That's a turkey dump play.
Yeah, that was brutal. But Brady, they've got the weapons. Sony Michel, their first rounder, went off last night. Did you see the stiff arm he laid out on that touchdown run late in the fourth?
He also had a play where he put his head down and just crushed someone, didn't he, and knocked him out of the game?
Yeah, he's legit. Like, the Pats offense rolling, Brady's going to do damage. So I'm turkey dumping the idea that he's going to show his age this year. At some point, it's going to happen. Right. But I think this year, Brady will continue. I've got an experience that I'm going to turkey dump.
Okay.
In the month of October, I am never going to Starbucks again with my wife.
Really?
You don't like the pumpkin spice?
Oh, the pumpkin spice.
Do you want to hear her order? I had to sit there because I was paying for it.
Yes.
I whirl up. I'm like, can I just get a...
black coffee.
Yeah. Give me a coffee, please. A pike. You know. She goes, I will please have a pumpkin spiced latte. Non-fat, half sweet, extra hot, no whip. That was her order. I looked at her with just astonishment. I said, how do you look somebody in the face and order that?
How does someone understand that?
Well, because...
That's Starbucks language.
That's the whole... She was probably the 400th person that day that had the exact same order. The cashier didn't even flinch. She's like, yep, gotcha.
See,
no problem.
I've never had a coffee in my life. I know what it tastes like, but I don't like it. So I just never...
You've
had
never
a
had... Like,
I've never
start
drank,
to finish...
Like, never drank a coffee in my life. And I'm not claiming some clean lifestyle. I just don't like the flavor of it.
That
I
is
never
shocking,
have.
Though. At any point, you weren't so tired where you just said, you know what, I'll try a coffee.
I'll drink something with caffeine in it. Diet Coke has caffeine in it. Something like that. Like I say, I'm not. That's not a high horse
You're
hero
not Gary
comment.
Player here.
No, it's not a high horse Jerry hero player. Comment. I just don't like the flavor of it. So I've never had a coffee. So I get frustrated when I go to Starbucks. I'll have a hot chocolate. I like their banana bread. Like, mm-hmm. I usually... lean into something like that, but
let me repeat this.
If I'm ordering for somebody,
let me repeat this.
It drives me nuts.
Pumpkin spiced latte, non-fat, half sweet, extra hot, no whip.
Man, these low order. And you're right. The people behind the counter, they know.
She punched that in like didn't
nothing.
Even flinch.
Mine is pike, black coffee, no room for milk. Goodbye.
See, that's old school. That's almost like a Timmy's. Timmy's just black, you know, like no nothing in it, little sugar. But I've gone and had to order for, well, Steph wants a London Fog skinny fat latte with caramel, no whipped cream, and you're like
a London Fog.
I think London
that's what
fog.
It's called. It's
like London Fog skinny fat tall grande short.
Yeah, like
no whip with room
with
for milk,
caramel
cinnamon,
drizzle, but no
drizzle.
Whipped cream.
Yeah. It's ridiculous.
I got to get that every time. And then the little one just likes the cake pops. Because that they're actually pretty solid.
That's literally what I bought my daughter.
Yeah, the pink cake.
She's like, I'll take one of those. Which they're basically Timbits, but they cost $4.
Yeah, exactly.
Let me get a Timbit, a Starbucks Timbit. Timbit.
$4 Timbit.
Let's go to break and take one more call. If there's any bad turkey dumps that happened, that you've had happen to you, heard about, what's the number?
416-870-870-1050.
Get at us. And we want to hear from you.
All right, Mitch Berger will join us around 6:30. Former NFLer. Look back on the Pats. Getting past Indianapolis last night. Andrew Luck looks healthy at the very least. Pats now 3-2. Couple of big games this weekend. Kansas City taking on Jacksonville. Jalen Ramsey talking a lot of smack about Tyreek Hill. I'll say this about Jalen Ramsey. He makes you notice him, and cornerback is not necessary. It's a sexy position, but it's not on the marquee, right?
Right.
But the quarterback and the running backs and the wideouts and pass rushers. And this guy shuts people down. He's an all-pro corner, but he makes you want to watch who he's going up against.
I don't like trash talking. I never did it, but I give guys a lot of credit that do it because they are putting themselves under the gun come kickoff.
Well, absolutely.
Like, you got to back it up.
If you get burned, the whole league is going to laugh at you.
Richard Sherman?
Sherman's
case in
prime example.
Case in point.
And eventually you lose a step, right?
Like, right.
You could talk smack for 10 years and be a Hall of Famer. Eventually you're going to hit a wall and you're going to look bad.
And then people will line up to kick you in the junk.
Absolutely. 416-870-1050. We'll take some more calls maybe in the next hour. Mike in Toronto. What's up, Mike?
Hey, what's going on, guys?
Hey, bud.
Hey, Mike.
We're doing all right.
I just wanted to mention, going back to your little sandwiches there with the little rolls.
Mm-hmm.
You ever done the Swiss Chalet where you bust that baby open and load it with just skin and the Swiss Chalet sauce?
Dude.
Just skin?
The Buffalo Bill Sandy.
Wow.
You're going to have to check that out. But my turkey dump is, Brian, I think you're a solid guy, and I don't mean any bad by this, but your pro-line bets have been a little off lately, so I'm going to have to maybe dump you for the month.
Well, I guess you're going to have to jump off a cliff, a winning cliff, because I'm pretty sure I won last night.
I'm kind of saying overall. I mean, you took the Vikings to smoke the Bills,
yeah,
and that didn't work out.
That hurt.
And you kind of took KC to smash Denver in Denver, which I didn't really understand.
Well, they won that.
They didn't smash them, though. It was a four-point game.
Well, but I hear you. But you cover the number, you cover the number. I mean, we're splitting hairs here,
arguing,
Mike.
Arguing about this.
You know, I'll give you the Bills.
We got to fly, Mike.
I'll give you the Bills. Turkey dumped my Bills take. That was an awful take. But beyond
right.
that, listen, man.
Stay with them. Stay with them.
I'm telling you, don't jump off the ship yet. Okay,
and stay
Mike?
Away from the all skin. Sandy.
That's a veteran move.
The Buffalo Bill sandwich.
That is.
What are you, a size 14? Fire that in a dinner roll for me.
Yeah.
I like that. I think that could be, I wouldn't mind a little KFC. I could eat KFC skin in a sandwich.
You would have KFC skin
if you had
in a sandwich?
To, if you had to.
You've never had coffee before in your life, but you would eat that.
Can you give me a hand with this mattress?
I'm not saying I've ever done it, but if you have to put skin in a sandwich, that would be the one, wouldn't
get,
it?
I think you're probably
That's
right.
That's probably what I'm...
Get the Buffalo Bill sound when he finds out that she's a 14. It's the most repulsive...
It is. It's awful. Like, yes. Yes.
Anyway.
Oh, I got her card in the back.
You're listening to the Overdrive Podcast, Hour 2. Brought to you in part by Alpine Credits. Own your home and need a loan? With Alpine Credits, homeowners get approved.